Imagine waking up one morning to find yourself transformed into someone else, your thoughts foreign, your behavior unrecognizable, your loved ones appearing as imposters. This nightmare became reality for Susanna Cahalan, a vibrant 24-year-old New York Post reporter whose world imploded when her own immune system launched an attack on her brain. What began as an obsession with imaginary bedbugs spiraled into a harrowing month of madness that nearly claimed her life. Her memoir, Brain on Fire, chronicles this descent into neurological chaos and the remarkable medical detective work that ultimately saved her. Beyond its gripping narrative, Cahalan's story has literally saved lives as readers recognize similar symptoms in themselves or loved ones, leading to proper diagnosis of what was once considered an extremely rare condition. The New York Post newsroom had been Susanna's second home since starting as a 17-year-old intern, but changes began with an unfounded bedbug obsession that multiple inspectors confirmed didn't exist. At her boyfriend Steven's apartment, she found herself snooping through his belongings for hours, creating elaborate theories about his past relationships, behavior entirely contrary to her respectful nature. Physical symptoms soon emerged, numbness spreading from her left hand throughout her left side and severe headaches. Sensory experiences became unbearable. Neon concert lights burned into her vision like lasers, strangers' breath felt like hot needles against her skin, and Times Square billboards sent painful electric jolts through her body. The boundary between sanity and insanity was crossed with a violent seizure. As Steven slept beside her, Susanna's arms stiffened, her eyes rolled back, and blood and foam spewed from her mouth as he frantically called 911. In the emergency room, the once patient journalist became combative and paranoid. Her deterioration accelerated with repetitive lip-smacking movements and mid-sentence blank stares, complex partial seizures that went unrecognized. During medical appointments, she became convinced procedures were elaborate schemes to punish her. The medical team at NYU Langone expanded as Susanna's symptoms defy diagnosis. She exhibited Capgras syndrome, believing loved ones were imposters, declaring, "My dad is changing into people." Dr. Deborah Russo noted she appeared manic and psychotic, while psychiatrist Dr. Kahn observed her disheveled appearance and paranoia. "Everyone is talking about me. I can hear their thoughts." After her third escape attempt, a nurse warned about psychiatric transfer. Dr. Russo changed her chief complaint from seizures to psychosis and possible seizures, and finally just psychosis. Four new specialists joined her case, including Dr. Jeffrey Friedman, who discovered her dangerously high blood pressure. Despite extensive testing, her condition remained elusive. Blood tests from the CDC and state labs were negative for multiple infections. The autoimmune panel showed no signs of multiple sclerosis or lupus. All imaging appeared normal, yet she was clearly deteriorating. When specialists had exhausted their options, Dr. Sohel Najjar entered the case. Unlike previous doctors, he took a comprehensive medical history and addressed Susanna directly. During his examination, he asked her to draw a clock. Susanna placed all 12 numbers on just the right side of the circle, revealing right hemisphere inflammation. This simple test explained her left side numbness, paranoia, seizures, and hallucinations. Dr. Najjar concluded her brain was on fire, under attack from her own immune system. A brain biopsy confirmed inflammation, with immune cells attacking nerve cells. Samples sent to Dr. Joseph Delmau's lab revealed antibodies reacting against NMDA receptors, crucial for learning, memory, and behavior. Susanna was diagnosed with anti-NMDA receptor encephalitis, a disease progressing from flu-like symptoms to psychiatric issues, seizures, language deficits, abnormal movements, and potentially coma and death. This explained how a healthy young woman could suddenly develop severe psychiatric symptoms that were actually manifestations of brain inflammation. After 28 days hospitalized, Susanna was discharged with a three-pronged treatment: steroids to reduce inflammation, plasmapheresis to flush out antibodies, and IVIG to neutralize them.
Dr. Najjar believed she could recover up to 90% of her former self. Most concerning was the condition's invisibility to conventional medicine, raising questions about how many patients throughout history had physical illnesses misdiagnosed as psychiatric conditions. Recovery was painfully slow. Cognitive assessments revealed significant deficits. She remembered only 5 digits instead of 7 and named just 5 fruits and vegetables in 60 seconds compared to the typical 20. Her facial muscles were weak, preventing smiles, and her handwriting was nearly illegible. Social interactions became excruciating. Stephen became her protector, speaking for her and managing her needs. Her recovery centered around a complex medication regimen requiring 6 daily doses that her mother meticulously organized. 4 months after hospitalization, she lost her Hell's Kitchen apartment as disability payments couldn't cover the rent. To regain control, she kept detailed to-do lists, studied for the GRE, and tackled challenging books, not just physically healing, but reconstructing an identity that had been temporarily erased. Susanna returned to work in September, almost 7 months after her breakdown. The post had preserved her desk, and she tackled even trivial assignments with fierce enthusiasm. Her colleagues were supportive, Angela discreetly assisting, and Paul reteaching her journalism fundamentals. When her editor suggested a first-person piece about her experience, she approached it as a reporter, interviewing family, Stephen, and her doctors. She became fascinated by a question: how many people throughout history had suffered from her disease without treatment? Though only discovered in 2007, doctors believed the condition had always existed. Dr. Najjar estimated 90% of cases went undiagnosed in 2009. After her article ran, Susanna received countless emails from people with autoimmune diseases. Anti-NMDA receptor autoimmune encephalitis is just one of over 100 autoimmune diseases affecting 50 million Americans, a number that's tripled in recent decades. Women account for 75% of cases, making these diseases more common in women than all cancers combined. Her most affirming moment came when Bill Gavigan called about his daughter Emily, whose symptoms matched Susanna's. Despite a schizophrenia diagnosis, Bill demanded testing for anti-NMDA receptor encephalitis after reading Susanna's story. With proper treatment, Emily fully recovered and returned to college. While most agree Susanna is back, subtle differences remain. Photos reveal something altered in her eyes, and a permanent bald spot reminds her she'll never be exactly the same. She's developed new quirks, talking in her sleep nightly, and lives with the fear of relapse, which happens in about 20% of cases. Susanna still struggles to distinguish fact from fiction. Vivid hallucinations persist in her memory while real events fade. Despite logical knowledge of what's impossible, these false memories feel stubbornly real. A year after moving in with Stephen, she found a museum postcard purchased before her breakdown, a visit she cannot remember. Her journey through autoimmune encephalitis became a beacon of hope for countless others, leading to numerous diagnoses worldwide and challenging assumptions about mental illness. Our brains define who we are, yet remain vulnerable to invisible enemies, including our own immune systems. Susanna's story reminds us of both our fragility and resilience. When your mind betrays you and reality slips away, what remains is the fierce human drive to reclaim yourself and those who refuse to let you disappear.